Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
I know there's been a lot of misinformation in this debate, and there are some folks out there who are, frankly, bearing false witness, but I want everyone to know what health insurance reform is all about.
I believe that this particular health care plan, as it stands now, is absolutely, patently, ungodly, and evil.
The social statement as amended is approved.
I want to wish Muslims across America and around the world a blessed month as you welcome the beginning of Ramadan. May God's peace be upon you.
Happy Ramadan, Abdul.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, Etc.
It is shocking. There's no other way to put it. And I'm as much a creature of the culture as anyone else is. I am as desensitized to the shocking things that occur on television, in the media, as anyone else is. But when you see teenage girls, I don't know what it was, one of these award shows, I was watching one of the teenage starlets, Miley Cyrus, who is greatly beloved by the tweens, especially these young ladies in the United States. She's dancing, and it may not have been a stripper pole, but it might as well have been a stripper pole right there on the stage with her. And she was scantily clad, and the dancing was erotic. I don't know how else to put it. And I'm no prude, folks. And there was her dad, and I presume her mom, giving her a standing ovation after her display, her performance. And I thought to myself, there goes another one. Sweet, innocent, fresh-faced young girl makes it big. And then, next thing you know, she's dancing on stage with a stripper pole. It seems to just happen again and again and again. We're going to be talking about the sexualization of girls. Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us here in the first few minutes of this hour. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. It's August the 27th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or you can Twitter us right here in the studio, @IssuesETC, @IssuesETC. A little later in the hour, Wendy Wright will join us from Concerned Women for America. We'll talk about the legal challenge to Florida's ban on gay adoption. We'll remember, along with the rest of the church, late 4th century and early 5th century bishop and theologian Augustine of Hippo, big figure, and his mother, Monica, a little bit later with Dr. Thomas von Hegel. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd.
First, your thoughts on the legacy of the late Senator Kennedy.
Well, he was certainly a remarkably talented politician who had a big effect on legislation, had a lot of legislation to his record, and of course, carrying the Kennedy name, which is a legendary one in America. I think, in terms of his legacy, at least for politicians and especially Catholic politicians, I think certainly from a pro-life perspective, it was unfortunate in many ways. Kennedy became, in some ways, a standard bearer for this idea that you can be hold a set of personal religious convictions, but not exercise them in the public square, or at least sort of pick and choose which ones you exercise. And so he had a very liberal vision of how the state should intervene in terms of taking care of the poor and vulnerable. Some would agree with that vision, some wouldn't. But when it came to issues like defending innocent human life from abortion, he was not consistent at all with the Catholic faith he professed. And unfortunately, I think that actually did a lot of harm in that set a real example for many other Catholic politicians.
You have written recently about what you call the Britney Spears syndrome. Describe it for us, if you would.
Well, I coined that term simply to describe what we've seen with a number of these stars, Britney being the most widely known case, but you could also cite Lindsay Lohan or Christina Aguilera or more recently Miley Cyrus, and that is that they start out, usually with Disney, with a very wholesome image, and parents get very excited about them because their preteen girls are flocking to these concerts and watching their listening to their music, watching their movies, and these teen queens seem pretty clean. And then seemingly overnight, they transform themselves into vixens, usually around the age of 15 or 16, and suddenly they're on stage, you know, doing all sorts of exhibitionist dance moves. They've got, you know, nude photos coming out here and there. They've got tabloid headlines they're racking up in terms of their misadventures with drugs and booze and all the rest. And it's something that we've seen happen over and over again, and it seems to be, in some ways, a bit of a marketing ploy. That is, parents are kind of sucked in by what appears to be a wholesome new teen star who, as soon as she gains a following, starts morphing into this other creature, which is much closer, of course, to what we now think of when we hear the name Britney Spears than what we thought of during her Mouseketeer days.
The bizarre thing about the example you cite, Miley Cyrus, in your column, is the degree to which her parents are kind of along for the ride. I don't know the relationship there, but it's been noted by the media that her father, of some country western music fame, seems to be managing her career in this direction. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah, you would certainly think so. This was also the case with Britney Spears' mother, both in managing her in overseeing a lot of aspects of Britney's career and also her younger sister, Jamie Lynn Spears. You know, I think money is a big factor here. I think it's easy for parents, like anyone else, to get caught up in the fame and the hype about around their kid. In the case of Billy Ray Cyrus, you know, he's been held up as sort of this ideal dad. He's, you know, on her TV show with her and keeping her image clean. But just last year, when she was only 15 and had a topless photo in Vanity Fair, it was from the back, but it was clearly topless and pretty provocative for a girl her age. He was right there in that photo shoot, pictured in some of the other photos that were also a little risque for a girl her age. And her parents were apparently on the set for the shoot, or at least part of the shoot. So, yeah, a lot of times this is with the awareness and the collusion of parents, and I think they just get sucked into the Hollywood syndrome, much like maybe the parents on the beauty pageant circuit for young girls as young as 5 and 6 years old, the sort of JonBenet Ramsey toddler tiara queens, and it's very strange to see sometimes their parents and making up their little girls like little harlots, frankly, and it's just kind of sad to see how they're allowing their children to be used in this way.
Well, it's writ large in famous families like the Cyruses, but it's the same, it seems, in the degree to which the average soccer mom or dad will permit their daughter to be sexualized in this way. Not in the ways that tabloids are going to be taking pictures of it, but it happens nonetheless. Talk about that, if you would.
It does happen. There's a whole new genre of books really chronicling this. I mean, they've got names like Girls Gone Skank and The Lolita Effect and The Porning of America, and they all chronicle how marketers have targeted young girls with very sexualized clothing, music, entertainment. I mean, you can walk into a JCPenney store and find thong underwear for a six-year-old girl, padded bras that match. Britain even has a pole dancing kits for preschoolers. So this stuff is really out there, and someone's buying it. Someone's giving the girls the money to buy this stuff. I think a lot of parents feel kind of powerless. They see that this is strange or inappropriate, but they become desensitized to it because it's all around us, and there starts to be this attitude of, well, you know, Miley isn't as bad as Britney, and Britney's not as bad as Madonna, and so I guess she can listen to Britney and Miley. Or, you know, I don't like thong underwear with words like eye candy on it for my six-year-old girl, but, gee, it's better than the pole dancing kit, so I'll go ahead and buy it. Or her friends have it, and so I can't make her be the weirdo who doesn't have this stuff. So it becomes sort of groupthink, I think, where parents participate in this stuff, partly because they've lost that sense of what's appropriate for girls, but partly because they feel powerless and feel like there aren't enough alternatives, so they have to just sort of go with the flow. And it's really unfortunate, because if enough parents stood up and said, I'm not going to support this kind of entertainment. I'm not going to buy these kinds of fashions. I don't care how many other girls are wearing them. I think you'd get a backlash, and I think it'd be significant enough that marketers would pay attention.
We've got less than a minute. What you got kids on the way. One of them may turn out to be a daughter. What are you going to do? What do you suggest parents do in this hyper-sexualized world of adolescence that we're all seem to live in? About 30 seconds.
Well, certainly we can teach our children to be savvy media consumers, especially our daughters, to start recognizing when they see ads and entertainment that cajoles them into seeing themselves as sex objects, to start standing critically outside of that to the extent they can, according to their age, and say, what do you really think that commercial is trying to tell you? Do you realize the person behind that commercial is actually trying to sell you something? So we can educate them that way. We can also become more sensitive ourselves and watch what we consume, what we wear, the choices we make, because our kids, of course, model what we do more than what we say. And finally, the next time we've got a teen queen on the way who says, you know, we hear this one's going to be wholesome, we can think twice before we allow our daughters to fall totally in love with her and mimic her every move, because unfortunately these Hollywood starlets come and go, and they often crash and burn and take a lot of young girls with them in terms of these girls becoming scandalized and following in their not-so-admirable footsteps. So I think backing off from the Hollywood hype on some of these Miley Cyrus-type stars would be a good idea, too.
Folks, you can read Colleen Carroll Campbell's columns under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for being our guest.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back from this break, Wendy Wright's going to be our guest. We're going to be talking with her about, you probably heard about this in the news, a legal challenge to Florida's ban on gay adoption. Wendy Wright of Concerned Women for America, right after this. Here's your chance to win a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. Email 10 friends the latest Issues Etc. YouTube video, and we'll register you to win a gift certificate from Concordia Publishing House. We'll announce the winner on August 28th. Just go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, copy and paste the video's embed code into an email, send it to 10 friends, relatives, or fellow parishioners. Be sure to send a carbon of your email with your name and address to talkback@issuesetc.org. Tell 10 friends about Issues Etc. and tune in on Friday, August the 28th to find out if you're the winner of a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. Go to issuesetc.org, click promote, and send the Issues Etc. YouTube video to your friends.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When you hear the words new music for your congregation, do you automatically think of mindless praise music? Well, think again. Liturgy Solutions has new compositions for all seasons of the church year that are firmly grounded in the Reformation truths of Christ for us in word and sacrament. Check us out on the web at www.liturgysolutions.com. At Liturgy Solutions, we don't do worship, we're deep into liturgy. www.liturgysolutions.com.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.